Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, text number 28. Hitva Yaksha Ishvara Purim Vanam Sogandikam Sha Tat Drumai Kamadugai Ridyam Chitra Malya Palam Chadai Hidvayik Shasvara Purim Vanam Sogandhi Kamchayatat Drumai Kama Dugar Ridyam Chitra Malya Palachadai Hidvayak Yakshesvara Purim Vanam Sogandikam Chatat Drumai Kama Dugar Ridyam Chitra Malya Palachadai Hitva Passing Over Yaksha Ishvara, the Lord of the Yakshas, Kuvera, Purim, the abode, Vanam, the forest, Sogandikam, name Sogandika, Cha, and, Tat, that, Drumai, with trees, Kamadugai, yielding desires. Ridyam, attractive. Chitra, variegated. Malya, flowers. Pala, fruits. Chadai, leaves. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While traveling, the demigods pass over the forest known as Sogandika, which is full of varieties of flowers, fruits, and desire trees. While passing over the forest, they also saw the regions of Yaksheshvara. Purport. Yaksheshvara is also known as Kuvera, and he is the treasure of the demigods. In the descriptions of him in Vedic literature, it is stated that he is fabulously rich. It appears from these verses that Kailasa is situated near the residential quarters of Kuvera. It is also stated here that the forest was full of desire trees. In Brahma Samhita, we learn that the desire tree, which is found in the spiritual world, especially in Krishna Loka, the abode of Lord Krishna. We learn here that such desire trees are also found in Kailasa, the residence of Lord Shiva by the grace of Krishna. It thus appears that Kailas has a special significance. It is almost like the residence of Lord Krishna. Text 29. In that celestial forest, there were many birds whose necks were colored reddish and whose sweet sounds mixed with the humming of the bees. The lakes were abundantly decorated with crying swans as well as strong-stemmed lotus flowers. Purport. The beauty of the forest was intensified by the presence of various lakes. It is described herein that the lakes were decorated with lotus flowers and with swans who played and sang with the birds and the humming bees. Considering all these attributes, one can imagine how beautiful this spot was and how much the demigods passing through enjoyed the atmosphere. There are many paths and beautiful spots created by man on this planet Earth, but none of them can surpass those of Kailas, as they are described in these verses. Text 30. All these atmospheric influences unsettle the forest elephants who flock together in the sandalwood forest, and the blowing wind agitated the minds of the damsels there for further sexual enjoyment. Purport. Whenever there is a nice atmosphere in the material world, immediately there is an awakening of the sexual appetite in the minds of materialistic persons. This tendency is present everywhere within the material world, not only on this earth, but in the higher planetary systems as well. In complete contrast with the influence of this atmosphere on the minds of the living entities within the material world is a description of the spiritual world. The women there are hundreds and thousands of times more beautiful than the women here in the material world, and the spiritual atmosphere is also many times better. Yet despite the pleasant atmosphere, the minds of the denizens do not become agitated, because in the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritualistic minds of the inhabitants are so much absorbed in the spiritual vibration of chanting the glories of the Lord that such enjoyment could not be surpassed by any other enjoyment, even sex, which is the culmination of all pleasure in the material world. In other words, in the Vaikuntha world, in spite of its better atmosphere and facilities, there is no impetus for sex life. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Param drishva nivartite. The inhabitants are so spiritually enlightened that in the presence of such spirituality, sex life is insignificant. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. In these verses is a description of the heavenly planets. And in the heavenly planets, there existing actual material opulence. Material opulence doesn't mean big skyscrapers, television sets or videos and computers. These are technology, and they may have some kind of material, it may be some kind of material opulence, but actual material opulence is beautiful lakes with swans and different types of flowers like lotus flowers and parijata flowers, clean air, fresh water, peaceful life, nice relationships. All these are factual material opulence, and especially nice food. Here in the material world, we lack material opulence, and therefore everyone is hungry in every respect. We're hungry for air, for water, for food, for relationships. Here everyone is more or less always dissatisfied because we can't even get proper material satisfaction, what to speak of spiritual satisfaction. And in Kali Yuga, we can't expect that things were going to improve. Actually, it says, Tatas chanudinam dharma satyam socham dayashama balena kalila raja nakshantya yor balam smriti. Day after day, everything goes down. Because Dharma is being decreased, therefore, along with Dharma, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, tolerance, bodily strength, memory, all these things, day after day, they're diminishing. But, as we know, there's one great opportunity to get some higher taste. And although people are hankering for some kind of happiness, and here it says that generally speaking, when people are beset by problems, they try, first of all, to solve those problems. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this place is karshati, it's a struggle. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanam manakshastran indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Karshati. Struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. But as soon as there is some brief alleviation from the struggle, then immediately the mind comes up with the idea of trying to enjoy. If we're beset with illness here in Vrindavan, if we have diarrhea or too much constipation, then the MDT pizza doesn't look as good as it did before. But as soon as there is a little bit of hunger, even imagined or not, then at once the MDT Govindas looks like it's Vaikuntha. Similarly, as soon as there are some problems in the material world, debts or enemies, legal cases, then our desire to enjoy diminishes. Old age, disease, death, these certainly diminish material enjoyment. And when we take birth again, we're not exactly in a position to enjoy either. But when we forget about these things, a modern society is more or less an attempt to help us briefly forget how much distress we're under, how many disturbances there are, then immediately we try to figure out how to make arrangements for material enjoyment. But here it explains that real enjoyment, which surpasses any kind of arrangement we can make in the material world, even if we knew what material enjoyment is. Just like the devotees, they have hardly any material opulences compared to the materialists, but at least they know how to utilize whatever opulence they have. One time, Trivikram Maharaj was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and they were staying at the estate of John Lennon. John Lennon at that time, he had hundreds of millions of dollars, and therefore he was considered an extremely wealthy person. And Trivikram Maharaj is saying how wonderful it was he had so much money. But Srila Prabhupada said, what is the use of his money? He doesn't know how to spend it. If we have so much money and we don't know how to spend it, then what is the value of it? A billionaire, he doesn't know what to eat. So he spends his billions of dollars to eat some dead animal. He thinks opulence is drinking some rotten grapes, fish eggs, and a dead animal. And the devotees, they may not have any money, a few hundred rupees, but they know where to go to get nice prasadam. Therefore, their standard of enjoyment is actually higher than those of the materialists who don't know how to utilize their money properly. The devotees can sleep peacefully. Just look in the audience and you can see. Well, the materialists, they'd come here and they'd be envious, not of the devotees' wealth, but of their ability to fall asleep under all circumstances. We have a ways to go in our relationships, but at least we're not killing each other. there may be a few words exchanged sometimes, a little bit mental disagreements, generally speaking. But compared to the materialists, the relationships are quite nice. The materialists, they have nice relationships with each other when they don't speak to each other. Then everything appears to be good. But if they had to interact with so many different people, they'd have a very difficult time. And what to speak of peaceful, freedom from anxiety. So the devotees, they know what the goal of life is. They know how to achieve it. They know so many things. And therefore, comparatively, their anxiety is much less. Therefore, in one sense, the devotees have a much higher standard of material happiness. But still, beyond that is the spiritual happiness of Krishna consciousness. But there's a few problems to achieving that spiritual happiness. One of them is that we have to believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a little difficult. Now, of course, we may have a Dodion and a Sarion, and that may be to ourselves or to others proof of our ultimate sacrifice, that we've changed our dress and our address. What more can anyone want from us? But there's a few details that Krishna included in the Bhagavad Gita to help us understand what it means to factually accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantimrichati. So the first thing we have to accept, not only during the Bhagavatam class, but a little beyond that also, is that everything here belongs to Krishna. If we don't accept that fully, then we're thinking that Krishna may have his abode, even if he did exist, and I have my abode. He has his Lakshmi, and I have my Lakshmi too. He has his freedom to do what he wants, and he should leave me some freedom to do what I want. Or as one devotee said in a class, a little for Krishna and a little for me. Well, too much for Krishna. Shouldn't be greedy. No, to accept that factually everything belongs to Krishna, and even my own body belongs to Krishna. That it's not my body. It's factually Krishna's body. What I wanted to be my body, then Krishna, he may fulfill the desires I have, and I may think it's my body. But actually, it never becomes my body. It's simply an illusion that's given to me when I want that illusion. What to speak of the things in relation to the body? It's just an imagination to consider that these things belong to me. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was asked, I was told, how many disciples you have? At that time he had so many temples all around India, 60,000 disciples, I believe, and his answer was 4. So the devotees were quite shocked, or the person who answered him was quite shocked. He thought he had thousands of disciples. He said, no, I have 4, 2 hands and 2 legs, because they usually listen to me. We may imagine so many things, but actually, we're not the doer, nor are we the proprietor. And And that's realized when we agree to find out first what Krishna wants me to do with this body. Then if we agree to do that, as much as we do that, mam chayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayatam brahma bhuyaya kalpate, then gradually we get beyond the modes of nature, and when we get out of ignorance and no longer identify myself with the body, brahma bhuta prasanatma, I become joyful because I realize I'm not the body. And beyond that, I'm not the enjoyer. It's one thing to think I'm not the body, and it's another thing to give up the spirit of enjoyment. Just like in the fight between the demigods and the demons on the shore of the ocean of milk, they were enjoying the fight so much that even some of them, when their heads were cut off and they found themselves as ghosts, they wanted to participate in the fight so much that they picked up their dead bodies and continued to fight as ghosts. So even we can realize we're not this body, still that desire to enjoy the body may be there. So that's the mode of passion. That this body, not only we should follow Krishna's instructions, get out of the mode of ignorance, but also we should do our activities to please Krishna. There's a difference between doing what we're supposed to do and doing it out of love. And then beyond that, even we're doing things out of love, even we're doing what Krishna wants us to do, still we shouldn't take the credit. Nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. Just try to become an instrument. Not that when I do something right, I deserve the credit because somehow or another I'm a good soul. Unlike so many other souls, at least I'm good. And I'm trying to make so many other souls good like I am. And if I do something wrong, it wasn't my fault because I'm a good soul. It's just I was forced to act by these bad material nature. We should see ourselves, good or bad, as instruments, either for Maya or for Krishna. When we're instruments for Krishna, then it is by the mercy of our spiritual master and the devotees and the disciples' succession. It is not our credit. It is actually the credit of our spiritual master that by his mercy, we're getting the opportunity to engage in devotional service. And by the mercy of those who have accepted the instructions coming by in disciples' succession, they're acting as instruments of Krishna, helping us become Krishna conscious. If we can get out of these modes of material nature, then we can simply desire properly. And if we desire properly, then gradually we can work for our own benefit and for the benefit of others. On the other hand, even before we come to that exalted stage of becoming Krishna conscious, at least we should see that we're acting as civilized human beings. That is also a higher taste. Therefore, Chanaka Pandit says, Matrivat paradareshu paralostrasma kanchavat atmavat sarabhuteshu yakpashiti sapanditaha. That first of all, that we should see everyone else's property to be just like garbage in the street. That means when we're looking at others, if they have more physically than we have, materially speaking, we shouldn't become envious of them. If they have a better position, if they have more followers, if they have more education, if they have more wealth, if they have more of all the things that I'm hankering for, we shouldn't become envious. But we should see that these things are Krishna's property, and he's giving them this property to so many other living entities to utilize in the ways that they desire. And then we should look at all ladies, except for our wife, if we have one, as just like our mother. Or conversely, ladies should see every man, except for their husband, to be just like their son. Then we'll have the proper attitude. We may call it love. I was reading about Lord Nrisimhadeva in Mayapur. Pankajangari Prabhu was giving some stories, and he gave one story. One Mataji was making every day some garlands for Lord Nrisimhadeva out of tulsi leaves, tulsi garlands. And she had a dream one night. Lord Nrisimhadeva came, stuck his nails into her chest, and pulled out this black thing and said, "Look at it. This is not love, it's lust. What should I do with it? And besides that, there's a lot more inside." So the next day she came before Lord Nrisimhadeva and said, "Throw it away. Throw it far away." So we may think it's love, but actually it's our desire to exploit. As I said yesterday, it's the give and take in the material world. You give to me, and I take from you. We may call that love, but actually it's simply material consciousness. The real love is when we look at others, how can I help you become Krishna conscious? Therefore, even we're married, then we should look at our wife as Devi, as a someone that I'm here to serve to help become Krishna conscious. And we should see our husband that I'm assistant to help you become Krishna conscious. And the children also as Krishna's eternal servants. Otherwise, as soon as we forget that, at least we should remember how to act properly in terms of material etiquette, not in the mood of exploitation, but in the mood of service, even in the material world. And all living entities should just be like our very self. As we'd like others to feel good for to do good for us, so we should help others also. Then if we're civilized, then we can hear. We can hear how to become more civilized and ultimately how to become Krishna conscious. How to chant the holy name without this attachment to so many ideas, other ideas. We may think that it is very difficult to chant Hare Krishna, especially japa. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada and I asked him, "Can I remember Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting the holy name?" So I expected Prabhupada to write back, "Oh, you're remembering Krishna's pastimes, how wonderful. You must be so advanced." So Prabhupada wrote back, he said, "No." So as soon as I saw that, I was a little surprised. "No." He said, "No, you shouldn't remember Krishna's pastimes when they're chanting in the holy name. You should simply chant and listen. And if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that's very nice, but not that we're artificially trying to remember." Why is that? Wouldn't it be nice to remember Krishna's pastimes? Yes, certainly it's nice to remember Krishna's pastimes, but we can't force our way into Krishna's pastimes. Kamsa is also in Krishna's pastimes. But that type of being Krishna's pastimes is not so favorable. We also have to develop the mood of wanting to engage in Krishna's service, not simply bring Krishna here to take care of my problems. He's not, you know, you rub your japa beads and suddenly Krishna appears. and says, yes, what can I do for you? You know, well, you know, there's a few things. I have a list. I forgot it. But, you know, you're the super soul. You probably remember better than I can. So I'll leave it up to you. No, we want to enter into the mood of service. That mood of service, wanting to please Krishna, that's the mood of entering into Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when we're chanting japa, it is a great opportunity, for instance, or chanting Hare Krishna, to listen to ourselves chanting and see what mood am I chanting? Am I chanting in ignorance? Am I chanting in passion? Am I chanting in goodness? Or am I transcendentally calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage me in the loving service? What is my mood? Of course, if we're distracted, then there's no question of listening to our chanting because we're listening to the mind. The mind has so many things to tell us, especially when we're chanting. There's a whole story to tell us. Suddenly, things we forgot about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or our 50 lifetimes ago, suddenly come into our mind, and they become very important. And we think, I can't wait. I got to take care of this now. At the end of my round, when I get a chance, I'll start chanting again. But I got to think. I got to think hard about whatever my mind's telling me now, because I might forget it, and it's really important. To become aloof from the thoughts of the mind and not to take it so seriously, unless it's really serious. You know, I left my baby in the bathtub and, you know, the water's running and she's going to drown, but I got to chant my rounds. Hare Krishna. I got to become aloof from all these thoughts. Unless it's really serious, and if it's not so serious, we can at least write it down on a piece of paper. If it's serious enough to remember it, but not to distract us from our rounds. Then if we actually hear our chanting, because we have to hear how we're chanting. It is not that every sound I make is divine, and therefore I don't really have to notice it, because the very fact that I'm chanting, Krishna must appreciate. The fact that I'm chanting 16 rounds means that I'm way above everyone practicing in the universe. I'm so surrendered. I can't even believe it myself, what to speak of Krishna. No, the chanting is only the beginning. The fact that we're trying to chant the holy name is not the perfection. Therefore, we should see it as a great opportunity to make our chanting in such a way that gradually we can actually chant with some attention, that the chanting becomes nice enough to listen to. Not that we're hearing ourselves chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, God. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Now that we're listening to ourselves chanting, feeling the pain. Or we're chanting attentively, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, I'm going to do it. This The devotees used to go, Hare, knock their heads against the wall, Hare Krishna, attentive chanting. No, all this is really unnecessary. we should know at least that if we're having some trouble, it's due to our attachment. And our attachment is due to the fact that we want to be the Lord and we just can't do it. There's always someone coming before us, preventing us from becoming the Lord. I want to enjoy, but my body won't allow me. There's some living entity that won't allow me. There's some obstacle for my enjoyment, and it's disturbing my mind. There's some obstacle for being recognized as being the savior of my family, at least. My wife should appreciate me, or my husband, or the children. And when they appreciate me, then I'll have peaceful mind, and then I can chant. Or my disciples should all be obedient. They should all follow my direction. They should bring me back to Godhead, or at least bring me my prasadam on time. There are so many obstacles for becoming the Lord, the enjoyer, the savior. There's so many obstacles for being for getting profit, adoration, distinction, and they disturb my mind. And we're making plans so my mind's not disturbed. So one day when my mind's not disturbed, I'll be able to listen to myself chant Hare Krishna and make some advancement. That day will never come. Even for Brahma, it hasn't come. He worked at it for 100 lifetimes. And still it's not there. Still he chants his rounds on the lotus flower, and some wind comes to knock him off the lotus flower. He tries to get good sons, and they come to attack him. There is never a time in this material world where we can find ourselves perfectly peaceful, perfectly well situated, and then we can chant with attention. No, Krishna says to Arjuna, it is difficult to curb the restless mind. But he doesn't recommend to curb the restless mind. He says, Asam shayam mahabaho manodur nirgraham chalam abhyasena tukuntiya vairagena chigriyate. He says suitable practice and detachment. That's how to conquer the mind. So our practice is to call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in their service. So if we do that, if we have some faith that they exist, that they're listening to us, that they take us seriously, and we do it sincerely, without desiring so many other things that are coming to our minds, without desiring some other situation, some other circumstance, without lamenting over what happened in the past. If we can do that, then we can gradually, didadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give us the intelligence. Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, the devotees will give us the intelligence how to chant better, how to work in this movement, in the Sankirtan movement, so that these thoughts will not come to me. If during the day I'm acting as if I believe that I am the Lord, if I'm acting as if I believe I'm here to enjoy, if I'm acting as if I'm believing that I'm actually the savior of others, the benefactor of others, if I'm acting like that, then when I'm chanting, these thoughts will come to disturb me. And if I act as Krishna's servant during the day, if I participate in the Sankirtan movement, and Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agaya Guru Tar Harahe Desh. If I act as the instrument for Krishna during the day and utilize my body, my mind, my words in his service, see everyone as Krishna's servant. See myself as everyone's servant to help them become Krishna conscious. See myself as an instrument for Krishna and for my spiritual master, and follow their directions according to what they've given me in, by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. If I do that, then when I chant japa, then my mind will not be so deviated. Then I can listen to myself chant, and I can pray to chant with some sincerity. And if I chant sincerely, then the result is I'll automatically remember Krishna. And that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness, to become conscious of Krishna. We're not trying to become anything else other than conscious of Krishna in the mood of devotion, in the mood of service. And if Krishna's, if I have the mood of service and Krishna reveals himself in that mood, then the result is I'll be able to feel Krishna's presence. And Krishna is all blissful. He's all loving. And then I'll know what it's like to feel Krishna's love, to feel the love of Krishna's devotees. And if I feel that, then I'll know what love is, and I'll know how to chant in a loving feeling. If I don't feel Krishna's love, if I don't feel the love of Krishna's devotees, how will I know what love is? And if I don't know what love is, how can I chant lovingly? So before we can come to the spontaneous platform of service, first we should follow Krishna's directions, the directions of Srila Prabhupada. And if we do that, utilize our body, mind, and words in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, try to understand how to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, then the result is I'll remember Krishna in the mood of service, and if I remember Krishna's in the mood of service, then I'll know what devotional love and service really is. Then I'll be able to chant with love, I'll be able to serve with love, with devotion, and then I'll know what Krishna consciousness really is all about. So it is not that we should artificially pretend that we have some higher state of consciousness, and by such pretension, then Krishna will reveal himself to me. We may remember Krishna. Undoubtedly, there are persons, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, they imagine Krishna coming before them. They imagine Krishna coming and Srimati Radharani coming with Krishna, dancing before them. But this is just imagination. Krishna is there in such imagination, but he's not going to reveal himself fully to such an imaginary devotee. They're devotees, but they're on the platform of imagination, simply, not the platform of pure devotional service. Therefore, they can't enter into the mood of experiencing Krishna's love fully, nor Srimati Radharani, nor Krishna's devotees' love. And therefore, they can chant with love and get the full benefit of devotional service and become fully conscious of Krishna. The conclusion is that Srila Prabhupada, our previous acharyas, have given us a complete method of becoming, of reviving our relation with Krishna. We simply have to understand it, accept it, apply it, and then everything will be there. That is, if we actually want to revive our loving relation with Krishna and his devotees, everything will be there. And if we become deviated by our mental conceptions, then something else will be there. So let us take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. As he's taught us to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, do good for others, and especially do good for ourselves. So, thank you. Any questions or comments? Oh, you give it to him. Janarin.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. If, let's say, a devotee may be considered as an advance, so definitely the way he will deal with others will reflect his advancement. Now, if we cannot understand the way his actions are, then how can we give our full respect or our appreciation of that devotee who is considered as an advance.
Well, your question is if we don't know what his activities are.
He is considered as an advance.
Advanced devotee.
Advanced devotee, but somehow we cannot understand his actions.
Can you give me an example?
Like, let's say there is some way, if he acts or if he does something, there is some kind of confusion. There is some kind of a clash.
Seems like you're talking about somebody you don't want to give his name.
But it happens.
Yes.
This is the fact. So how?
Well, advanced devotee, there are different levels of advancement. Someone may be more advanced than I am, therefore they must be considered advanced than I am. As far as, you know, shanti virakta kalatvam virakta manishunyataha ashavanda samudkanta namagana sadaruchi. So that's really advanced. Shantira, tolerant, viraktira, detached, or avyakta karlatvam, never wasting time. So these are actually very advanced devotees. Shantira, virakta karlatvam, virakta manashunyataha, ashabanda samudkanta, always eager to obtain Krishna, always patient, always having a taste of chanting the holy name. But if someone's more advanced or relatively more advanced, then they're considered more advanced by some devotees. Because somehow or another they're doing something which is more advanced than maybe the majority of devotees. Prabhupada in 1977, in the beginning, he pointed out some casta bushes. And he said, in the absence of big trees, a casta bush is like a bush. But in the absence of a big tree, a casta bush appears to be a big tree. So relatively speaking, someone may be very advanced, and they're considered advanced. But to become really advanced, that's quite rare. But then we have to know what the science of devotional service is in order to understand what we mean by an advanced devotee. And also relatively advanced devotees. It is not that because someone is not on Krishna Prema, it is not that he's not relatively more advanced than we are or others are. And if they're, just like for instance, someone may be an expert golf player. The super advanced golf player, every time he hits the ball, it goes into the hole. But that's quite rare. But if they can hit the ball less times than we have to hit the ball before it goes into the hole, they may be considered relatively more expert than we are. This is a material analogy, by the way. But they may be considered a professional, although every time they hit the ball, it doesn't go into the hole. And we're considered an amateur because we hit the ball a lot more times before it goes into the hole. So this is just relative. Therefore, we have to know the science and know how to offer respect. Because Krishneti yasa giritam manasedriyeta. At least within the mind, we're supposed to offer respects to anyone who's chanting the holy name. So it doesn't hurt to offer respect. And we cooperate with the devotees who are initiated, following their vows, initiated, understand the science, and cooperating with each other to spread the Sankirtan movement and worship the deity. And we hear from those who are advanced enough that they relatively understand more than we do how everyone is Krishna's servant, and they're engaged more fully than we are in Krishna's devotional service. They have more of a service attitude than we have. So therefore we listen to them how to make advancement in our service, how to see things more clearly. But that doesn't mean that everything that they do, everything they say, every relation we have them, we see them as completely advanced devotees. But we have something to learn from them So unless we have the proper attitude, we put things in the proper perspective, we won't be able to learn what we actually have to learn from them to make advancement. Therefore, this idea, oh, you're an advanced devotee, therefore you're in Vaikuntha with Krishna. Sometimes those who are initiating gurus, some devotees, they think, oh, you're an initiating guru, that means you must have all eight mystic powers at least. You must be talking with Krishna. Just like one devotee, Indradu Maharaj, I was telling him this one time, and he said, yes. He said, at least recently, I had some experiences like that. He was telling me, actually, he said that one devotee, he was, we won't say where, he came out, he gave Indradu Maharaj a donation, and then Indradu Maharaj said, thank you very much for the donation. What is your name? And the devotees were shocked. You don't know what my name is. Guru Maharaj, you don't know what my name is? And he said, Guru Maharaj, can I speak to you later? So Indradu Maharaj said, okay. So later he spoke to this devotee, and the devotee said, Guru Maharaj, you didn't know what my name is. So Indradu Maharaj said, well, you know, I'm not like Prabhupada. He said, what? You're not like Prabhupada? He said, yes, I don't have all the mystic powers. I don't remember. What? How is this possible? At least he didn't ask for the donation back. So we may have so many conceptions of what it means to be advanced, or what an advanced devotee is, etc. But it may not be completely true. It may not be real. We may not have things in the proper perspective. So we have to study Prabhupada's books. We have to learn the philosophy, apply the philosophy, and then gradually we'll be able to reciprocate with others in the proper way. That's positive. And that's not unrealistic. One more question?
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your eloquent discourse. You talked about devotees. One of the definition of devotee given in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is that devotee serves Lord and Lord accepts the service. So how do we know whether Lord is accepting our service or not?
Well, if you don't know, he's not accepting it that much. When he actually accepts our service, we'll be in ecstasy. But first we have to render some service. Prahlad Maharaj, he said to Lord Nrisimhadev, when Lord Nrisimhadev was offering him so many benedictions, he said, I don't want to accept your benedictions. I don't want to be a businessman. Vanik. We may not think that we're doing business with Krishna, but if we're not in devotional ecstasy, then we haven't come to the platform of pure devotional service. Our service is mixed. If we're not even on the platform of Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, if we're not even on the Brahman platform where we're always joyful and jolly, then our service has not reached the highest platform. Our service is still in the modes of nature. And as we get out of the modes of nature, as we make some advancement to get out of the modes, we'll know that Krishna is reciprocating with us. Otherwise, there's no way we become elevated. So for us, our elevation right now is, as it says, bhakti pareshanu vyaktir anyatra trika eka kala prapanamanasya tashnatosus tushti pushti shudapai nugasam. So for now, just like when we eat a meal, we simultaneously feel alleviation of hunger, growing strength and satisfaction. So as we perform our service, if we're able to see more clearly how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, if we're able to feel some more affection towards Krishna, if we're able to become detached from the things that are drawing our mind away from Krishna, then we know Krishna is reciprocating with us. Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam. He's giving us more intelligence how to become closer to him. Why? Because machita machkata prana bodhiyantash parashparam katayantasparam nityam tu shanti charamanticha. Somehow or another, I have the association of the devotees. Somehow or another, I'm taking their association seriously. I'm hearing from them how they're making advancement in devotional service. And therefore, I'm applying that knowledge. Tesham satatam yuktanam. I'm trying to become more consistent in my devotion. I'm trying to become more enthusiastic in my service. And because of that, Krishna dadami bhuti yogam tam, he's reciprocating and giving me more intelligence. How to see everyone, everything in relation to Krishna. How to become detached from the things that are drawing my mind away from Krishna. And how to feel more love towards the devotees and towards Krishna. How to render more service to them. And less selfish attitude, less selfish desires. My consciousness is expanding beyond simply my own sense gratification.
Maharaj, yes. Thank you for giving us this wonderful lecture. I have one question. I know that I have to chant my 16 rounds every day, and I know I must follow the four principles and respect the Ekadashi and read the books. And I also understand that all this is service to Krishna. But if I'm a businessman, maybe my true service is to give money or donate money to the temples. Or if I'm a writer, maybe my function is to write books to enlighten the minds of people who don't understand Krishna. What I'm getting to is how can I know what Krishna wants me to do? How he wants me to serve him? How can I know this?
Well, my suggestion is just chant Hare Krishna. Do exactly what you said. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. And if Krishna wants you to do something else, he'll tell you. And if he doesn't tell you, keep on doing that. If somehow or another you can keep on just doing that, then there won't be any problem. Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, fifth chapter, verse, I believe, 34. He says that if you're a Brahmin, then you should prove Krishna's existence, either by philosophy or by science. If you're a Kshatriya, you should fight like Krishna to establish Krishna's supremacy. If you're a Vaishya, you should utilize your energies in Krishna's service to spread the Sankirtan movement. But above this, and more important than anything else, is to hear and chant about Krishna. But in the absence of such a propensity to hear and chant about Krishna, you should utilize everything you have in Krishna's service, and that way you'll develop this desire to hear and chant about Krishna. So if you have a desire to hear and chant about Krishna, do that. As long as you don't have a wife and children who probably will encourage you to do something beyond that. But if you don't have wife and children, other responsibilities, keep on chanting Hare Krishna. And if somehow or another you can't do that, then learn how to utilize your energies, whatever energy you have, in some other way. And that you can find out from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And that will be revealed to you. Krishna will help you. I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande, Hari Gaur.